The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Friday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network. VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. Live from Bar Canada at the D, downtown Las Vegas. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin.
Sup?
You good?
Oh, I'm good. I'm good.
Ready for some game sixes again tonight? A couple game sixes?
Might need a little nap beforehand, but yeah, otherwise I'm ready to roll. Let's go Mavs.
Big night tonight. Big night for you with your Mavs bets.
Mavs series bets, Mavs and six on the line tonight. Those would be a nice cash to get those home.
Oh, nice. You have Mavs and six, yep. Too. What number did you get Mavs and six at?
Let me check real quick.
That's a very nice search for you right now. Well, let's see what I got it at. We'll get to the NBA.
Plus 360.
Nice. We'll get to that momentarily. All NBA things, because I have a series of NBA questions now that we have another conference semifinal series set heading into a couple game sixes in the first round tonight. Drew Dinsick will join us here momentarily live from, do we know that he's at Churchill Downs specifically? He's in Louisville. We know that much.
We know that much.
Churchill Downs, maybe. We'll find out momentarily. But Drew, of course, doing the Derby for NBC Sports. We will get his thoughts from down there. And after that, Pablo Torre will join the show, Kelly. The host of Pablo Torre Finds Out, which you and I, can I speak for you here, big fans of this podcast. It's part of the DK Network. But it's he goes down sports, not always sports, but usually sports rabbit holes. Like, just stories that haven't been fleshed out. Mm-hmm. And he does it with his buddies, sometimes with his enemies, and they just go down this investigative rabbit hole with all these, and it's fascinating, and we'll get to that with Pablo. Chris Velika joins us for a couple segments today, of course, his final Derby thoughts and beyond. I'm sure he's got some soccer thoughts as well. Preston Johnson, co-owner of Crawley Town, baby. Who are in the League Two playoffs. He will join us, and it's a story about how Moneyball won out, and he has gotten his team to the playoffs, obviously a chance to go to League One if they were to win out in this. But the story just to get to the playoffs themselves, one rife with amazing emotional roller coaster elements where the fan base hated him, and now he comes out of the ashes and gives them a playoff team. So in just the most amazing way, getting rid of all their best players, just signing these randos from elsewhere that no one thought were any good. It's an incredible story.
It's awesome.
Yeah. It's awesome. And then Jason Weingarten, of course, who also has a little something to do with Crawley Town, but he'll be here from under a cloud of smoke, of course. I don't know if we're going to get the camera on with Jason today, but, you know, the contractor has to work still to get there. Okay, NBA last night, two game sixes. Remember, two series were sweeps, two finished in five, and we had four game sixes, two last night, two tonight. And the two last night, they end. The Pacers, first of all, roll the Bucks. The Bucks ended up with Dame Lillard, but without Giannis Antetokounmpo. And so, in the end, this was a 5.5-point spread. Remember, when we were on air, it was 8. And we made the comment, there's a lot of time between now and tip-off, so we'll see who plays and who doesn't. They both got upgraded to questionable at one point. Yeah. Dame ends up playing, Giannis is not, and the Pacers say, hey, whatever, we'll destroy you. 22-point win. And the Indiana Pacers are on their way to the conference semifinals. Would you like to say any final words for the Milwaukee Bucks this season? Because you know mine. Mine is, this is the greatest thing that ever happened to Doc Rivers, that these guys got hurt so that he doesn't have to take any of the blame.
That is fair. I think every single playoffs that goes by that we don't get to see someone like Giannis Antetokounmpo participate in is a shame.
I agree.
I'll just put it like that. And this is Pacers. Good luck next round.
Okay, well, we'll get to that because the Pacers are well, let's put it this way. The Knicks are north of $2 favorites against the Pacers, and the Knicks are in that conference semifinal series in the East, courtesy of their Game 6 win over the Sixers last night. And this could have been disaster part two. Remember how they gacked Game 5 when they were up 6 with 29 seconds left in Game 5? Well, they go to Philly last night. This was, speaking of roller coasters, this was one. The Knicks went up in this game 33-11. With 2:22 left in the first quarter, the Knicks are up 22, and you're like, wow, nice no-show, Sixers. But then the Sixers wake up. They go on a 43-18 run to close the half. They actually lead by three at the half. At that point, 30-0 in bench points for the Sixers, including 17 from Buddy Hield, who had two all series before that.
Yeah, it was a bold strategy of throwing out the one of the great 3-point shooters in the league that you traded for, and it's just been sitting on your bench the past couple weeks.
And Barkley and you know, he seized on something that he had seized on earlier in the it was in the Nuggets series where he said, why are the Lakers doubling Jokic and letting everybody go crazy? He said the same here about the Knicks way up doubling up on Embiid, and so it allowed Hield and other guys to have some room. Philly went up by 10, 71-61, but by the end of the third quarter, it was tied at 83. And then late in this game, the Knicks 109-101. They're up 8 with OG Anunoby at the free throw line with a chance to go up 9. This is with 2:43 left in the game, and you're like, well, this is over again. And before, I mean, just in mere moments, it's a 111-111 with 35 seconds left. It's incredible.
It was wild.
It's incredible.
What a series.
And then a Josh Hart 3. Splashes with 26 seconds left. And after an Embiid layup and a couple DiVincenzo free throws, New York finally understood, unlike in Game 5.
Yes.
We are going to foul up 3.
I was screaming at the TV.
You know what happens when you foul up 3? You probably win it in 97-98% of the time. I haven't run the numbers, but don't hold me to that. It's a winning strategy.
I mean, time, score, situation, that was the perfect spot last night to do that.
Philly could never catch up.
And it should be the perfect example of why every coach do this.
This is what you do.
It's not just about the makes and misses at the line. It's about how much time is taken off in between all the different motions of inbounding and fouling trying to steal.
Balls getting knocked out of bounds. Because this is what happened in the end. In the end, you're up 3. The ball gets tipped out of bounds. So I think that the Sixers had 3.7 seconds left on the clock, I believe it was. And they inbounds to Buddy Hield. And Hield knows, well, they're going to try to foul me. So rather than really getting the best setup and look for a 3, which he kind of had the space to do, but in your head you know you're about to get fouled. So that, and by the way, inherent in that is why you do this. He kind of rushes it, right? Because he has to. And of course it misses horribly. And the Knicks win it 118-115. And the New York Knicks are headed to the conference semis.
Yeah, and I don't know this would have made much of a difference, but that foul, the possession beforehand, where they had a chance to foul Josh Hart, put him on the line, a little bit worse free throw shooter, they didn't foul him. I think it was Oubre on him. It didn't get the foul on him. Ends up getting it over DiVincenzo. Embiid has to foul him. Embiid fouls out. Yeah. And, I mean, it's easy to say now maybe that wouldn't have mattered at all. But you talk about that situation with 3.7 seconds left. It'd be nice to have a 7'2" guy to throw the ball into that can actually shoot pretty well when you know you got to get it up right away.
So we have the series set up between the Knicks and the Pacers, conference semis now. The Celtics awaiting the winner of tonight's, or not the winner of tonight's, but the winner of the series anyway, between the Magic and the Cavs. They're game 6 in Orlando tonight. Let me ask you a series of questions. Let's start with the Knicks and Pacers. Knicks are -225, Pacers +190 on the comeback in this series. You already tipped your hand. You don't give the Pacers much of a chance here.
I'm in. I thought this price was going to be a little bit steeper. It has gotten. DraftKings actually one of the cheaper shops out there. I was shocked, man. I saw some of the openers, couple of offshore shops open to this like -175 and a blink got beat up. I got it at -215 on the Knicks. I played that. I'm not going to sit here and say I went crazy on it because I'm wondering about game one. Game one, I'm probably going to stay away from. I mean, this was a hell of a series between the Knicks and Sixers with a lot of minutes being played by the Knicks starters. I'm wondering if they're going to be able to take this momentum and carry it over into game one and be okay. I think if the Pacers have a chance to catch them, it might be in that game one where they might be able to catch the Knicks a little bit off guard. So I did bet it. I laid it at -215 on the Knicks. I think they're the far superior team heading into this matchup. And if they can win game one, I think this series could be over quick. I think Pacers got a big chance, though, if they can steal one in New York, get them off of a long, long series where the starters played a lot of minutes and now have to refocus their attention to a brand-new opponent that brings different struggles.
All right, let's do 2 minutes of rapid fire. Would the Knicks have a puncher's chance against the Celtics in a conference finals? Yes or no?
Yeah.
They would.
Yes. Puncher's chance, sure. Yes.
Game six is tonight. Orlando's favored by 4 against Cleveland, trying to knot up the series at 3 apiece. Dallas is favored by 7.5, trying to end the series at home against the Clippers, who will be without Kawhi. Would you consider an Orlando series, adjusted series price?
I don't hate it. I don't hate it. I would lean Orlando's way tonight. I think it's going to be a gross game, probably looking under, probably looking Orlando back home having a chance to win.
Who can win more games against the Celtics in a conference semis, the Magic or the Cavs?
Cavs. Even though the Magic have beat them, I think, what, 2 or 3 times this year? I still think it's the Cavs.
You do?
Yeah.
Okay. And the Clippers are done tonight?
Clippers are done tonight. Clippers are done. Go home. Sorry, JVT. I love you. But I like my money more.
You beat me to the sorry, JVT. You do like your money more. And you have the Mavericks and all kinds of exactas and futures as well. So this goes beyond this.
It does, yeah. I don't want that to get to a game 7, man. That's part of the it's done in my brain saying, I hope it's done. I hope it's done because game 7 might be dicey.
OKC awaiting the winner of that series. So if it's OKC in Dallas, what do you think that series price is?
I don't know. It's Thunder, but I think it's small favorites.
I do too.
I don't know. Minus 140, 150, something like that. I don't think I'll be getting involved much in that series from a series betting perspective, game to game, maybe. Yeah.
That's where the youth of the Thunder will reflect in the price.
I think it's going to be a great series. I think both those series in the Western Conference could be great.
See what happens tonight. 2 Game 6 is Drew Dinsick from Louisville. Next, Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Are you ready to become your own sports betting expert? Look no further than a VSiN Pro subscription, your ticket to insider insights, exclusive data, and winning strategies. For a limited time only, we're offering our annual subscription at an unbeatable price. Normally priced at $240, you can now grab your subscription for just $199. Sign up today. We'll also give you an extra 2 months for free. That's 14 months of VSiN Pro access for less than 50 cents a day when you use promo code ANG. With VSiN Pro, you'll gain instant access to our daily best bets with the leaderboard to see who has the best win percentage in ROI, 19 hours of live programming, including expert breakdowns and in-game analysis, proven betting systems for professional handicappers, and our exclusive betting splits to show you where the money and bets are moving for every game. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe today to claim your 14 months of VSiN Pro for only $199 with promo code ANG.
That's promo code ANG, folks. As an A Numbers Game, the fine program you're listening to right now, promo code ANG.
That's VSIN.com/subscribe. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, Numbers Game live from Bar Canada at the D. We go to Churchill Downs, a soaked Churchill Downs, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. And look at this guy. It's Drew Dinsick, everybody. Whale_capper on Twitter. What's happening, Drew?
Oh, nothing bad. Beautiful day here in Kentucky. The Oaks running today, and honestly, the conditions on the track look a little questionable. All week long, I've been asking people, like, "Hey, what do you think on Oaks Day? They're calling for rain. What are conditions of the track going to be like?" And everybody just glows. Oh, the dirt is so impressive here. It dries so fast. I don't know if you just saw that horse running behind me,
but it is
sloppy AF. I have no idea how they expect this track to be dry enough to run a clean race. So we'll see. Maybe the rail, maybe the inside is a little bit more firm. But from where I can see and from what I've seen so far in warmups this morning, it's gross out here. So best of luck to the horses. I hope you have a safe and competitive Oaks today. But yeah, it's going to be wild out here.
Sloppy AF, horse racing term.
I actually didn't see the outside rail behind Drew when that horse came up. I thought the horse was about to truck Drew Dinsick.
I did too. From the angle that I was like, is he going to react?
And
he didn't react. Yeah, look at that. That is a sloppy looking track. Do you have any Kentucky Oaks bets today, Drew?
Yeah, so the Oaks, when I, kind of did my homework before coming out here, I was like, wow, this is an impossible call. There are 3 very, very good horses in this race and like 3 long shots that all look very live. And then I came out for warmups yesterday in particular, and got to see all of the Oaks horses kind of do their, you know, training and their schooling. And I got to tell you what, Just FYI, who is sired by Justify, is a beast of a different nature. It literally looked like, you know, they have the Derby horses and the Oaks horses have their own half hour to train. And they were out there together. And if you didn't see the pink, coloring on the saddle, you would not have known that that was not a Derby horse. She is much bigger and more physically impressive than the other fillies who are running the Oaks. And I know that's not like the end all be all from a handicapping perspective, but she's got speed. She's got, you know, pedigree. She's done it at, you know, a level that I, you know, would have no problem believing that she can do it today. So she looks to have taken the biggest step forward from the juvenile fillies. And I think she's probably going to run this race as impressively as you can. So if you like a long shot, Pretty Woman drew in as the 15 horse, and the connections when that, you know, drew in because of a scratch to the one. And when that happened, the connections basically they lost their mind. They were so excited. I think they think that horse is ready to pop. And so I would look for Pretty Woman as the 15 as kind of the long shot to use in the exotics.
Okay. And just if anybody missed that, because you started the sentence, Drew started the sentence with Just FYI. Just FYI is actually the name of the horse he was referring to.
Yeah, I got
those. Yeah. No, I'm seriously, because I think
FYI is the name of the horse.
Yes, yeah, right. Just FYI. Okay, Derby tomorrow. Has your thinking changed? How are you going to play this?
Yeah, so there's been a lot of rumblings about potential scratches for Fierceness, potential scratches for Honor Marie. I think all of that is noise and nonsense. I'm sticking to my guns that those are the two best horses in this field. Honor Marie's going off at a price. I'm using him on top. I'm using him in exotics. I'm using him under Fierceness in an exacta. And then I think ultimately, like, my feeling on the race all comes down to pace thesis. I'm expecting that you're going to get a hot pace because there's so many sprinters, particularly Dornock, who's in the one, they're going to have to send him. And he's going to probably draw out T.O. Password, the 10, maybe Track Phantom, the 12, definitely Epic Ride, who's outside of Fierceness. And if those five horses are competing for the lead and we have like a 45 low at the first half mile, then I think Pace Melt is in play. And a Pace Melt means Fierceness is probably going down. You have a really strong like group of closers in this race, including Honor Marie, Catching Freedom, and Sierra Leone, the second choice. Sierra Leone, to me, looks a little out of gas. I think we've seen the best of them. I don't think we've seen the best of Honor Marie, and I don't know that we've seen the best of Catching Freedom. But of all the horses that were warming up, Catching Freedom kind of had the most intent. Like, he looked very, very ready to run and was, you know, running, you know, warming up with purpose, whereas a lot of the other horses looked like they just kind of wanted to be somewhere else, like particularly the Japanese horse, Forever Young. Really, couldn't even tell you how unimpressed I've been so far with the workouts and the warmups for Forever Young. So ultimately, this horse race probably to me comes down to whether or not Fierceness gets burned out by the early pace. And if Fierceness does, then that opens up the door for the closers. I know that there are some sharp folks who really believe in just a touch. And Just a Touch was sort of the same kind of wow, physical, impressive moment that I had with Just FYI. These are two Justify horses. And if you ever saw a Justify run, you kind of get the sense that it's just a giant, beautiful, physically impressive horse. And that was clearly passed on to Just FYI and Just a Touch. And so I guess if this is more of an honest pace and Fierceness is kind of dictating, I would expect Just a Touch and Stronghold are going to be kind of right on Fierceness is, you know, kind of hindquarters. And at that point, that would be sort of the three horses that I think could hit the board. But I'm kind of leaning into the maybe 20% chance that we get a hot pace and a pace meltdown, which will open up the door for my guy, Honor Marie.
Just a Touch is the only bet that I have. I have it at about double what it is now, and I take no credit. I take no credit.
Bet.
It was all Felica and Flatter for that one. They matched on that play. That was a while ago. I'm curious, do you get involved in matchups, Drew?
Yes, they hung a billion matchups offshore, and I have an uncomfortable amount of money across the matchups. And, I went against Dornock. I think Dornock is going to be hot on the early pace and could finish like, you know, 19th or 20th. I went against T.O. Password. I went against Track Phantom. I'm on Endlessly. I'm on Catalytic, which are two horses that people don't really think have much of a chance to run, but I think are going to kind of hit that 5 to 8 slot when it's all said and done. And then, you know, I have a lot of matchups with Ana Maria and Catching Freedom because I think those two closers have a big race in them.
All right, let me ask you what I ask everybody. If I come to you from the future and a horse won the Triple Crown, what horse is that?
Not happening this year.
Period.
I can say that with high confidence. It's not happening.
Not happening. Okay.
No, the Baffert horse, Muth, who is not allowed to run in the Derby because Baffert, of course, is suspended from Churchill Downs for cheating. He is not suspended from the Preakness, and he will run Muth at the Preakness. And so you'll have arrested Muth against, you know, whatever horse kind of makes their way through a very tough race on 2 weeks rest. That's just not going to be enough to beat Muth. So I think I would be kind of blown away if Muth doesn't win the Preakness.
Drew Densick from the not only the Deep Dive podcast, which he does with Andy Molitor, but also NBC Sports Bet the Edge. I don't want to let this moment pass without saying this. You seem so in your element here. Did you grow up on horses?
No. I mean, college Preakness was the first experience I had horse racing. But then, you know, kind of as a young adult, going down to Del Mar every year for opening day and for the Pacific Classic was a ton of fun. And now I've kind of gotten into Triple Crown and Breeders' Cup. And it's not as much a investment and handicapping sport as it is just a entertainment tax when it comes to betting horse racing. So, but that said, you know, everybody needs a little, you know, something fun.
Okay.
When you're in the betting space.
And where can we find you? Are you going to be on the broadcast? You're going to be on Peacock? Where are we finding you?
No, everything I'm doing is digital. And I think actually once I'm done recording this morning, I'm going to be able to relax and enjoy the rest of the racing.
This man right here. All right. So let's review. It's Just FYI is the main keyed horse here. You're doing for the Oaks today. For the Preakness, you mentioned Muth. And then for the Derby, let's just review in 30 seconds here. The way that you are betting it is, once again, the thumbnail.
I got Ana Maria to win. I like Fierceness over Ana Maria as a little bit of defense in the exacta. And then in the superfecta, I'm playing Ana Maria and Fierceness on top. I'm playing Ana Maria, Fierceness, Catching Freedom and then underneath I'm going to put some bombs like Endlessly, Catalytic, and that's about it.
All right, doing his thing and then picking on Door Knock among others in the head-to-heads. You were saying,
yes, sir.
Okay, Drew Densick live from Churchill Downs. Stay dry, man. Enjoy. Good luck.
You got it. Best of luck, you guys.
At Whale_Capper, look at him.
I love the way you said that, man. With all the betting we do, there's got to be some things you bet on and watch that you just love having fun with. And he loves having fun with that, clearly.
Man knows where to purchase a hat also. I should have asked him about that as well. My bad. Pablo Torre on the other side. From Pablo Torre Finds Out. This should be fun. Numbers Game. Visa. The Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back on A Numbers Game, live from Bar Canada at the D. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin. I failed to mention right at the beginning of the show, and I was saying I got to mention it right at the top, because it was starting right as we started. Every host, every guest on this network, every sport that they have a bet in is all at VSiN.com/... Is it bets or picks now? It always kills me.
Picks.
VSiN.com/picks. Pardon me. VSiN.com/picks. Every host, every guest, every sport. I had one tennis play overnight. I feel like I'm the only person who took Taylor Fritz here against Andre Rublev. I have picks. You got it right. You're so excited about it. You're like, picks.
Oh, when Gil goes to confirm things with me, and I'm like, yeah, sure, that sounds good. Yeah.
I have Fritz at +127 pre-flop. Right as the match started, it was about, I think, a couple pennies better than that. But right now they're on serve. Two games. Andre Rublev against Taylor Fritz. Rublev coming off the win against Alcaraz. And Fritz getting no love. But Fritz is, by the way, 3-2 now. Rublev on serve in the first set. Fritz getting no love in this on the betting line here. But his clay numbers are better, quite frankly. over the long term than Andre Rublev's are. And Fritz has beaten a lot of clay court specialists in this tournament. So I thought that was a fantastic price. So if you're interested in getting in this somehow in match at some point here, including right now where there's a break, there it is. Take that for what it's worth. We get tweets at Beating the Book. That's a semifinal in Madrid, by the way. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate the feedback. Matthew Mayberry. Holy crap. Look what happens when you foul up three, he said. You win in capitals. Knicks plus 3.5, Knicks money line, Knicks series, Sixers in play, plus 9.5, all cash. Thank you, Thibodeau, for doing the right thing. There you go, Matthew Mayberry. It is the right thing. We used to try on this show to, remember we did this on Primetime Action too. I don't know if we ever followed through. We're like, we need to keep a list of coaches who do foul up three and those who don't.
Yeah. No.
But they're not consistent
that's
either.
That's what I was just going to say. And we were talking about it, what was it, yesterday or the day before? I mean, after the last game where it was, we brought up that point. None of these guys are consistent. Sometimes you see it throughout, the playoffs, I think, have been a disaster. I think there's been multiple times where guys should have done it. And it feels actually to me, Gil, like it's something a few years ago now at this point that everybody kind of seized on. There were a few that started to regularly do it, and now it's just they're either out of jobs or moved around, and nobody's consistent with it.
Trust the glove. Deep shot, no doubter to center with the Cleveland bet. Gambling journalism at its best. I think he's talking about the home run the other night, even though it wasn't center field. Caratini? I don't know. Las Vegas, 514. No. He says, can you spell the word gacked? I'm looking for it and can't find it. I like it, though. LOL. G-A-C-K-E-D, of course. Everybody knows that. As in, they gacked the game. Hunter Gaddis gacked it. Nash. Nash says, Kelly meant to quote the great Mark Borchard in saying, love you, JVT, but I got my mind on my money and my money on my mind with the Mavericks. That's exactly right. Let's see here. Brian Schaefer. Rublev went down. Love won. I jumped on Rublev plus money. So he went the other way. And then Trust the Glove also adds, I don't bet horses, but Drew's report almost moved me to do so. Drew getting down at Churchill Downs.
I mean, how many times have we done this with him now? With 2-3 years in a row where he's been out there, right? I mean, like, we've done this same kind of shot with him now a couple times. You obviously seized on it. Like, you can see it. You can see it in his face and his eyes. How many times do we have him on every single week to talk about something sports betting? You can just see his eyes light up whenever he's out there at the Derby.
It brings up an interesting conversation, which we've had, I think, one or two times before. But when I see him there, it just brings it to the fore, which I think is worth having briefly, which is, you know, he's very open about this, so I'm not talking about it behind his back or anything, but he does betting for NBC. Like, that's a big potential gig, right? And, you know, NBC has what? They have the Derby. They have golf, which Drew loves to bet. They have certain tennis majors. I believe they have the French Open, leaps to mind. So a lot of this would be right in his strike zone. But one of the interesting things, and for those of us in the gambling media space who have been immersed in gambling and betting sports our whole lives, let's face it, one of our big sort of, I don't know if it's pet peeves or one of the things that we're very conscious of is betting media ultimately, right, at the bigger networks, going to be the arena of folks like Drew, who have been immersed in this for all these years, or, you know, when it comes to football, let's use the biggest sport of all, would they rather have some of their mainstream folks talk about betting instead of a guy like Drew? So that it's going to be fascinating to find out. And, you know, would they rather have Chris Sims talking about a football line as opposed to Drew Dinsick? And so we'll see. The answers are yet to be determined on that. Ladies and gentlemen, he is the host of Pablo Torre Finds Out. Pablo Torre joins us right now. Pablo Torre Finds Out, by the way, a podcast that both Kelly and I are, dare I say, obsessed with. And I just want to give you the little quote, the little sort of subtitle on it. Award-winning journalist / gas bag Pablo Torre is finally free to F around. Pablo Torre joins us now, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. How you doing, Pablo?
I'm great, guys. That is all too kind. Thank you for being obsessed with something that feels like my second child, much to my wife's disappointment. She's asking, should we have a second child? Yeah.
Can I just start, like, when you had in your head, you know, one day I'll probably do a podcast of some sort. How long have you had this particular angle in mind where you essentially do go, as it says right there, go down rabbit holes of sports stories that perhaps haven't been properly vetted out?
Yeah, it's sort of the culmination of all of my curiosities. I appreciate you guys being curious about this because I've been doing sports television in some form or another for almost 15 years now. I was a magazine writer before that. And what I hadn't yet earned the ability to do was basically tell people, hey, I think I have a sense of what might be interesting for you. Because, look, I get it. I understand that doing something different that's premised on, hey, there's a story here. I'm not going to tell you what it is at the outset, but trust me, there's going to be a payoff. It's something that I've worked literally 15 years to sort of achieve. And so for me, in the last year or two, I sort of formulated this concept of what if the premise is this is a mystery box drawn from the world of sports, but also beyond it. And inside of which you could find something like, I don't know, the video the Knicks used to try and recruit LeBron James in 2010.
That's one of the great ones. You know? Yeah. That's so
I'm just
good.
I'm bringing these sorts of bits of information as well as artifacts, as well as just to me what feel like revelations, and hoping that if you come along for the ride, you're going to maybe be obsessed with this in the way that I am.
And it is so great. You mentioned that one about the Knicks video to lure LeBron. There is a great one on Mattish Bia, the owner of the Suns, which is just mind blowing. I'm not going to say anything else. People should absolutely watch that. Let's just say wasn't too unhappy. The Suns got swept. Just want to point that up.
Yeah, it was. So the Suns one, I'll say yes. Please listen to it, watch it, because it's an exhaustive deep dive into how this guy maybe afforded the Suns for a record price. Like, no one had paid as much money for an NBA and WNBA team than Mattish Bia, $4 billion. And this is the story of how he happens to be also the king of mortgage lending in America, and how you, average American, may helped him buy the team without you necessarily knowing it, to be sort of blunt about it. And so, yeah, when they get swept and all these questions arise now, guys, about like, well, what's Mattish Bia going to do in this offseason? How is he going to run this team? You kind of got to understand how he runs his big business that made him a bazillionaire to get a sense of like how this could all go for the league and for him.
Pablo, you made the joke about how your wife, you know, thinks that this is your second child, the podcast, and not your actual, perhaps pending second child. Yeah. But let me ask you a similar question, and maybe this is unfair. Do you have a favorite of any of the ones you've done where you've been like surprised beyond belief about it?
You know, I love, and so for all of the investigative work we've done, and there's a whole laundry list I will not indulge myself with on your show. We interviewed Maury Povich, and I love the interview we did with Maury Povich for so many reasons, in part because this is the king of daytime television, now retired, who just let me watch episodes of Maury with him. Watching Maury Povich with Maury Povich was like an out-of-body experience that a genie seems to have granted me. And so when he's walking me through what it was like, he's telestrating what it was like to reveal that this gentleman was not the father. It was just one of the greatest moments of my life, let alone the revelation, guys, that Maury Povich, in his competition with all of the other kings and queens of daytime television, remember the era that this was in. This was Oprah, Jerry Springer, Ricky Lake, and all of that. Of course, Jerry Springer, the late, great Jerry Springer, is no longer with us. But Maury Povich told me Maury Povich is now retired. He still checks the TV ratings to see if he is beating Jerry. He's not hosting his show anymore. Jerry Springer has died, and Maury Povich cannot stop hosting. He can't stop competing. And that, in a way, is sports to me also.
Pablo, we got to run. We could talk for 10 minutes about this. Next one is Jokic in the harness racing, I believe, is coming up.
Yes, that's Tuesday. Spoiler alert, harness racing. We go and do it. We find out what Jokic loves about it. It is insane.
Pablo Torre finds out. Thank you so much, Pablo. Appreciate it.
Thank you, guys.
Courtesy of the DraftKings Network. We're coming back with Felica next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Don't forget to check out our new website at VSiN.com. Best bets, betting splits, exclusive articles, odds by state, betting tools, betting guides. It's all there. literally any sport you can imagine. Adam Burke on the Canelo Munguia fight tomorrow night here at T-Mobile. Dave Tooley talking Kentucky Derby. How about that? Mike Somich on the Derby on the Kentucky Oaks as well, front and center. A lot of Mike Somich, by the way. A lot of Adam Burke. He's talking Oaks as well, is Burke. Michael Dolan on the NHL playoffs tonight, a couple game sixes, including the Knights trying to stave off elimination, and then game seven tomorrow. Leafs and Bruins. Let's go, Toronto. I haven't won a cup since 67. VSiN.com. Check it out.
Yeah, only one game seven, right, in hockey?
So far.
Yeah.
Haven't had a game seven yet in the old baloncesto either.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Got to pick it up. Pick it up, NBA.
You do you believe, though, okay, these two game sixes tonight?
Yeah.
I assume you believe Dallas is going to win.
Yes.
No Kawhi for the Clippers. You believe we will have a game seven in the Magic and the Cavs, the series that everybody really craved a game seven for.
I mean, I'm not betting it, but yes, yeah. I do think we're going to.
Yeah.
I think the Magic have found something a little bit. Can they keep it rolling? I don't know. Gary Harris, questionable out tonight. From that, he is questionable as of right now for that game. Jared Allen, I did see a report. He's questionable right now. Did not play last game, remember. Although they look pretty good without him. Didn't play last game. He was at shoot-around this morning. So should be – that's better than last game if you're a Cleveland fan. So a couple injuries to watch here. Not a lot of great depth in that Orlando backcourt. So might be tested if no Gary Harris. He's one of those guys a little bit more important than people probably realize. This series has been something. There's definitely part of me that, you know, I don't have any bets on it. So I'm rooting for the Magic because the Cavs – you deserve this. You deserve.
You tanked for this, Cavs. You tanked for this, Cavs. Game six tonight, dogs at Orlando. We'll see if it gets to a game seven. Ladies and gentlemen, he is the owner of Crawleytown, a League Two team in England. Once upon a time, he was doing $1 college football podcast with me. Then he was on ESPN's Daily Wager, and now look at him. It's our buddy Preston Johnson. Everybody, how you doing, Preston?
How's it going? It's been way too long, Gil. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, man. Come on. We understand. Let me, for those who are unfamiliar, let me just ask, because they kind of know the background, which is you parlayed CryptoPunks into owning this team. That's the 5-second version of this. More or less. Okay. Was there more that you would like to add to that?
The CryptoPunks part was for the company Pixel Vault, which then I kind of parlayed that success into the club ownership and the NFT community craze that was building. But it wasn't like CryptoPunks themselves, but you were close.
I was close.
Like 9 out of 10. Yeah.
There was no chance I was going to get that completely right, by the way, Preston. So I point that out. Okay. All right. So when you bought this team, take us through how that went when you started sort of announcing the way that you wanted to manage this.
Sure. So a lot of people probably find this somewhat interesting because they'll remember that NFT craze, that boom, there were all of these online communities forming around most of the time, like cartoon or pixel images that really had nothing attached to them. There were these like communities on Twitter or Discord or whatever, but it was all speculation. There wasn't actually anything there to build on, to drive value to the NFT. And so our original strategy was, what if we bought an English football club in the lower leagues and brought an international community together to root on a club, because there's a game every Saturday morning here in the States, or Saturday afternoon if you're in the UK. And we are able to bring more fans to a club that otherwise locally has one of the smallest fan bases in the whole EFL. And so when we got Crawleytown Football Club, that was our strategy. Now, as you've probably found out in life, things don't always go to plan. And about 9 or 10 days into our takeover of the club, you know, we got a call from the Football Association that said your manager or your head coach is under investigation for racism and discrimination charges. And this was like, oh, okay. So we suspended him, eventually let him go, obviously. And so we had to kind of, well, we had gone in thinking, hey, we'll have a year to learn how this works, because most of us were brand new to English football. We had to postpone our NFT, strategy. We had to sort that. We had to hire a completely new staff. And we were told, oh, trust the experts, trust this, trust that. We tried to bring in people that we thought would give us the best chance to have success, and we just didn't. We weren't good enough. We were battling relegation all season. Eventually, there were 12 charges on that manager for racism discrimination. That was the most in EFL history. It was literally the biggest case in the history of the league. So we were dealing with all of that while trying to sort how can we actually be good at football? And we realized by the end of it, going into the second season, which is just winding up now, if you don't have support from the local fan base, which means if you're not winning, then you're not going to have any interest internationally anyway from any NFT or crypto or just any audience, right? So like Wrexham's story with Ryan Reynolds is fascinating because they generated all of this revenue and money from their documentary, and because it's Ryan Reynolds, and they put that into the playing squad, and they've actually been winning. And so now they've drummed up all of this momentum where they got promoted into our league last year and they got promoted out of our league this year. They were one of the top three teams in the league. So back-to-back years, they've been promoted. And so our strategy was similar, but didn't work out. So then we kind of had to regroup and figure out how do we do football then, you know, the English way.
And when, you know, when did it, well, for the interest of time, what was the low point for you, Preston, would you say?
Ooh, the low point was probably last year. So we're talking 2023, January, we had another coach quit on us that we had appointed or hired. And we had some players that at that point were the experienced players that all of the fans thought were good enough, but were part of the reason we were fighting relegation and just weren't good enough. And so we just ultimately bet on youth and athleticism and data and analytics, and the fans hated us for it because we were getting rid of all their old guys and banking on inexperienced players. And, you know, there were a lot of death threats online, especially. And, you know, I was over there, I was in a hotel once in Crawley, and had some fans tell me, hey, there's a mob of fans that are going to meet you outside and confront you. You should hurry and get out of there. Go to London, like go stay in a hotel in London. Like it got pretty intense, but that's what's crazy about, like, we talk sports betting and gambling all the time, and that's what I did for over a decade. And you're wagering, you know, some, for some people, pretty high stakes every weekend. The emotional stakes, I underestimated at a level I could never have imagined. It's what their livelihood over there for these towns, for their clubs. It's why they work, so they can eat, sleep, and, you know, support their football club. So that was the low point, I think, was around that January, February time last year.
Wow. Death threats. Now that Crawley Town has qualified for the playoffs, and congratulations on that. The playoffs begin on Monday for you. Do they love you with the same passion that they hated you?
It's definitely changed. Maybe not quite a 180, but, you know, it's close. It's that being there for our final game. It all came down to that final Saturday. We needed a couple of the other results to potentially go our way, as well as us winning our game. So, you know, them looking into the stands, they invaded the pitch, or what we call, you know, rushing the field, and all the fans were chanting, like, you know, going off, and everyone in the stands. There was a moment there where I was like, okay, like they have joy again, which was really important for me as a person, because last year I felt like I ripped this joy from this fan base, from this town, like, and it was my fault because I was me and my co-chairman, Evan, like, this is all our doing. Like, how can I help them find joy again? And so to have this, I mean, they've never been to the playoffs before. So in one season turnaround, to do it our way, bet on analytics at the end of the day, and then them seeing that it actually paid off and worked out, and they're like chanting and cheering for their team again, was like an internal resolution I actually really needed. So it was a really good moment for me.
That's so,
just last weekend. And so, we have a couple more games to go, hopefully three more to actually achieve promotion in this playoff. But either way, like, pretty satisfied with how the year's gone.
And you have to win the playoffs to get promoted. Is that correct?
Yeah, three automatically go up, and then 4 through 7 battle out for one more spot.
Ooh, okay. And it begins against the MK Dons on Monday. It's a home and home. Thursday is the next one. Crawley Town against MK Dons. Preston, I'll just say this on air, what I've probably said to you off air at some point, which is it could not happen to a nicer human being. All of this. I'm sorry you had to go through that bottom, that nadir, to get here. It's easy to say maybe that makes it even more rewarding, but no one should have to go through that. But I'm just so glad for you, man. And good for you. I mean, before you leave, because I do want to get this back to your wagering days, just to bookend it here. Sure. You're still an NBA guy. Are you still following the NBA playoffs?
Oh, yeah. You know, like, look, I've let some, like, NFL, I hardly followed. Baseball's like, way behind me. But, you know, NBA is my true passion. Basketball's the best. So I've been watching most games, following most games. I have a pretty I was pretty pro Timberwolves before the season. I fired a lot of, I had the Naz Reid, I had the Chris Finch, and then I had 30-1 on them to win the West, I think is the price. So I'm basically a T-Wolves fan. And then I bet the Celtics are going to win the East so frequently that I actually laid a like pre-playoff price on the Celtics. And that's why Porzingis got injured, if you were wondering, but so I'm Celtics T-Wolves if I can make it happen.
That is why Kristaps Porzingis got hurt. Still a gambler in his head. Preston, thank you so much, man. And we'll all be watching on Monday, man. Good luck.
Thank you guys. Take care. Go.
Preston Johnson, Crawley Town co-owner at Sports Cheetah. That's how we know him.
Yeah,
back in the day. Daily Wager before that. He just bounced on Daily Wager. They're like, where did Preston go? So, by the way, not exactly how it happened. But
behind a soccer team.
Behind a soccer team. We're coming back. Jason Weingarten has a little thought on that next.